Chapter 12. The Gypsy. Soon after Mr. Mason had met the other guests, a servant came into the sitting room and told them that an old gypsy woman had also come. She was supposed to be a fortune teller. All the ladies were very excited and wanted to ask her their fortunes. Miss Ingram was first, and spent 15 minutes with the old gypsy woman in the library. She came back looking angry. "This is ridiculous. How can you people believe in that sort of thing?" I wondered if the fortune teller had told her something she did not like. Next, three young ladies went in together and came back amazed. "She's ugly, dirty, and old," they cried. "But she knows everything about us. Everything." Suddenly, the servant entered the room again.
"Excuse me, Miss Eyre,"
he said to me.
"The gypsy woman knows you are here. She will not leave the house until she sees you."
"All right," I said. I was curious to see the gypsy. She was sitting in the library, reading a little black book. Her black scarf covered most of her face, but when she lifted her head, I saw her dark eyes.
"So, young lady, you are here to learn your future,"
she said. "Well, I must warn you, I don't believe in your skill," I said.
"I thought so, but I'm very powerful, you know. Why don't you tremble?"
"I'm not cold."
"Why don't you turn pale?"
"I'm not afraid."
"Why don't you ask me to tell your fortune?"
"I'm not a fool." The old woman laughed and started smoking a short black pipe.
"I can prove that you're cold and afraid and a fool,"
she said.
"Listen, you're cold because you're alone. You're afraid because you lack love. And you're a fool because love is standing right in front of you and you won't even try to fight for it."
I said nothing, only waited.
"If you really want it, happiness is waiting for you. Tell me, do you know the master of the house, Edward Rochester? What do you think of his relationship with Miss Blanche Ingram?"
"They seem to like one another."
"Like one another? I'd say more than that. I think they'll get married. Clearly, they will be a very happy couple. But I did tell Miss Ingram something about the Rochester property that made her look a little angry. If Miss Ingram meets a richer man, I think Mr. Rochester might lose his beautiful bride."
"Madam, I came to hear about my future, not Mr. Rochester's," I snapped.
"All right, then. Let me see your face. I see that feelings are important to you, but that common sense is your main guide in life. You will never do anything wrong or dishonest to hurt people. I like that about you. Well, I must stop pretending now."
Was I dreaming? The old woman's voice had changed and become so familiar.
"Well, Jane, do you know me?"
asked the familiar voice. Mr. Rochester stepped out of his disguise. My face turned red. "Sir, you've been talking nonsense to make me talk nonsense. It's not very fair."
"Do you forgive me, Jane?"
"I shall try to, sir, but you should not have done it," I said. But I smiled a little.
"Where are my guests, Jane?"
"I am sure they are discussing the fortune teller. Oh, another man has come to see you today."
"A stranger? I wasn't expecting anyone. Who can it be?"
"His name's Mason, sir, and he comes from the West Indies." Mr. Rochester's face went white. For a few minutes, he did not speak. Finally, I asked, "Are you ill, sir?"
"Jane, help me,"
he said. I helped him to sit down and then sat next to him. He held my hand tightly.
"Jane, I wish you and I were far away from here. with none of these terrible troubles to make me suffer.
How can I help you, sir? Please, tell me what is wrong.
Jane, I promise I'll ask you if I need help, but I cannot tell you anything now. Get me a glass of wine, please.
I did what he asked. He looked less pale, but very stern. After a while he spoke.
Jane, if all those fine ladies and gentlemen out there came and called me terrible names, what would you do?
He asked. If I could, I'd make them leave the house.
Or if they only looked at me, and then said terrible things about me when I could not hear, and then left me alone in the house.
I wouldn't leave you. I'd stay with you and comfort you, sir.
And if it seemed like the whole world was against me, would you still stay with me?
Sir, if you deserved my friendship, I wouldn't care what other people thought.
Thank you, Jane. I would like to see Mr. Mason now.
After I found Mr. Mason and left the two men talking in the library, I went to bed, wondering about Mr. Rochester's strange, serious questions. Some time later, I heard him walking with Mr. Mason to his bedroom, and I was glad that Mr. Rochester sounded happier.